Social media restrictions for Australian children aged under 16 have been in place for around 48 hours now, with the world watching how this big experiment plays out. South Australian Premier Peter Malinauskas is one of the architects of the ban, having commissioned the South Australian state draft law that inspired the national ban back in 2024. Peter Malinauskas, welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Now, we're only a couple of days into this social media ban, but how do you think it's working so far?
Probably as expected, to be honest, Melissa. I think, for the overwhelming majority of households, we've seen, with teenagers at home or kids with social media, they've lost their accounts. And, anecdotally, we're hearing a lot of stories about how that's already had a positive impact. Maybe not for the young kid who's missing out on it, but certainly in terms of what's happening around the household dinner table. But we always expected and always knew that there would be kids who would try and find ways to get around it, whether it be through a VPN or finding some way to defeat the system with facial recognition technology or whatever it might be. But as time goes on and the eSafety Commissioner is allowed to apply their regulatory powers, I think we'll continue to see improvements. I think it's important to acknowledge that no one was ever suggesting for a second that this is a silver bullet to tackle the challenge of excessive social media use or the imposition of smartphones on kids, but it certainly makes a difference and puts in place a standard that parents can help abide by.
There's been a lot of focus on kids' ability to get around these limits, whether it's messing with the age verification software or whether it's using VPNs. And we certainly know that kids have the capacity to work around this. Is there any concern in your mind that the focus on this ban, on the technological elements of it, might mean that there's less focus on parents making more active decisions or oversight than if the ban wasn't in place?
No. In fact, I think the opposite is true. And here lies in the point. Right. So people will focus on how the kids are getting around it and so forth, which represents an extraordinary minority of kids. But that's to misunderstand the real power of the law. See, what this legislation does, it isn't about regulating the relationship between a child and a social media company, although ostensibly it does do that. But where the power lies is actually giving parents the tool to be able to engage with their kids and talk about what healthy smartphone use looks like. But even more than that, apply a standard knowing that the family down the road, the family at the school, they're doing the same thing. And one of the reasons why so many parents end up allowing their kid to get a smartphone or end up being on social media is because they feel as though they've got no choice. They've got no choice because 28 out of the 30 kids in the class have got a phone and social media, and therefore it's almost impossible for them to say no to their child without running the risk of total isolation. Now that everyone's in the same boat, parents can get to work doing what they know is best for their kids. This is all about empowering parents, not the opposite.
Other countries like the UK say they're watching really closely how this plays out in Australia. What do you think they should be looking at to determine whether or not this has been a success and should be something they could consider replicating?
Well, they've got to look at the status quo and how that looks for young people in their country. And here lies in the point. Here is a reform that has passed the parliament, come into effect in Australia and is world leading. And people will focus on, is this working or not working? But what we have to remember is what we're starting from, which is a situation where kids' lives are being turned upside down in terms of how they develop mentally, how they engage socially in a way that we now definitively know is unhealthy. Understand this, the body of peer-reviewed science and research that is now out there in the public realm that speaks to the direct connection between social media use, childhood anxiety, childhood depression, inattentiveness at school is there for everybody to see. And I don't think anyone in their right mind could conclude, well, let's just let it go. Let's sit on our hands and allow this global experiment we've been running for 10 years to continue to play out. And more than that, who do we want the power to lie with? Do we want the power to lie with families or algorithms developed by tech giants who are exclusively concerned with the monetization of the information they can get off children? Because to do nothing is to say we're fine with that. And what Australia has done from an effort that started, you know, here in South Australia, is say, look, time for us to acknowledge that the status quo is not okay and we're going to start to do something about it.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast, where South Australian Premier Peter Malinauskas is our guest. Peter, we heard just earlier on the program from Federal Health Minister Mark Butler. He was saying that the Commonwealth is now putting an offer to the states and territories on public hospital funding that would see states and territories get an extra $21 billion. So they've upped their offer by $1 billion compared to the previous arrangement, and that the growth cap on spending would be 8.5%. Is that a deal that South Australia could sign up to?
Well, we're going to do a lot of work over the course of the weekend to assess the merits of the Commonwealth's offer. I acknowledge the improvement and in their position, and that's not to be dismissed lightly. But what I would say is this. The Commonwealth puts out these numbers, you know, $20 billion, $21 billion, and they sound very large indeed. But this is money over the course of a long period and starting from a position where states are investing an unprecedented volume across jurisdictions of new money into our public health system. Now, why are we doing that? Well, we're doing that because, you know, what we've known has been coming our way as a country for the last 30 years is now happening. We've always known that the ageing of the population was going to result in a dramatic escalation of demand on our public hospital system and our aged care system. And the freight train is now arriving at the station. Public hospitals around the country are overwhelmed with demand. And states are seeking to address that demand because we don't turn people away from our hospitals. And I think it's... Now, we have to be a little bit cautious when we think about the Commonwealth language when they... seek to suggest that somehow states aren't controlling the health system as well as they should. I would simply make this point. You know, in this country, when someone rolls up to a hospital and they are in need of care and they are unwell, no government, no hospital, no doctor ever says to a patient, sorry, we're full, see you later. They rise to the occasion and deal with the circumstances at hand. So we've just got to look after patients as best as we can. But the problem is the Commonwealth has been getting further away from the promise that they have made consistently to get to 42.5% of the funding share.
Right. Well, we'll see where the negotiations go with all of the health ministers today. Peter Malinauskas, thank you very much for joining us.
Always a pleasure. Cheers.